Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. And, yeah, there's quite a few anchor stories, like you was talking about.
Well, you know, I grew up on marinas, yeah. And the one last one we had was in Kinzu Dam, which is the Allegheny River, and it's backed up from Pennsylvania up into New York State.
Mm-hmm.
It's 91 miles of shoreline, and we had docks for 250 boats.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy is anchored, he takes off, doesn't pull his anchor in. He's, you know, pretty ski boat kind of situation. Well, the anchor comes up off the bottom, hits the end of the rope, stretches the heck out of it, flies out of the water. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, the rope is stretched out. The anchor flies up and hits him in the head drops him like a freaking rock. Mm. He's lucky he didn't kill him.
Yeah.
So the boat's out there going around in a circle. People are running, screaming. He's bleeding like a pig, unconscious. They get the boat down. They, you know, they call the hospital, and they take him off and... But, yeah, pretty bad day for him.
Mm.
But you think about it, you take off, of course, the anchor's directly behind the boat.
Right.
So there's a good chance of getting hit.
Yeah.
But he did.
Especially like you're talking about, the rope will stretch, you know, like that, and then just like rubber band back. You know?
Oh, yeah, because that polyethylene rope stretches like crazy.
Yeah.
It's like monofilament.
Well, and you know, fishing the jetties, I went out there, and matter of fact, not in deep water, just out there whiting fishing where I was explaining that gentleman. Mm-hmm. You know, 36, 38 feet of water right in there. I dropped my anchor, and it was my rock anchor.
Right.
You know, I didn't have a sand anchor, but it was my rock anchor. And it didn't grab the first time. You know, I was out there. I was going to catch them on the incoming tide where you got less current.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got out there, the water was still going out. So, you know, I tried to drop it down there. So, second time I dropped it down, and it didn't hold. I started pulling it up, and I was like, man, this thing's heavy. And I pull it up, and it had just went right in. You know, there was a how they spliced into the rope to go on cleats to make the loop. My rock anchor with the tines on it went right in that thing.
Right.
And so I had somebody's anchor rope. And I pull it up, and this anchor rope looks, it's a braided, the braided kind, looks brand new. It's like somebody had just dropped it in the water. So I pull it up, and there's an anchor on it. You know, one of the fluke anchors.
Yeah. Danforth.
Yeah. And what they had was, when they dropped the anchor down, I don't guess they had it tied to the cleat, of course, or it wouldn't have, you know, just went out. But what they did is, when they dropped the anchor, you could tell they must have just bought the boat or something, because when they dropped that anchor down, I mean, when I pulled that anchor up, it still had, you know, that tape that has a string in it, real strong tape. It was wrapped around the flukes and the bar of the anchor.
Oh, no.
So it wasn't going to hold.
It would never dig
in. The flukes weren't going to dig in or nothing. I mean, they just dropped it in. It must have, you know, I don't know what happened. But anyway, I pulled it up. It was, you know, brand new. And then one of the things I had probably, I'd pull up anchors like that all the time. And, you know, I've even pulled up Fortress anchors, which are like $150, you know. And, but anyway, I had a bunch of anchors at one time, and my wife's going to go do a yard sale with my niece.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, look, I got six anchors. Go out. You know, I said, they're worth some money. So, you know, I said, wheel and deal with somebody. And I figured, you know, she would know how much they're worth, you know. So anyway, that afternoon, you know, I come home from work, and it was on a Sunday, and, you know, she did the yard sale thing, and she come home after me, and I said, oh, you give me some money for the anchor? She goes, yeah, some guy gave me $2 a piece for them.
Nice. The rope was probably worth 20.
Well, none of them had rope on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But still, that's funny.
I'm like, okay.
Well, at least she sold them all and got them off your plate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Sounds like something would happen at my house.
Yep. Yeah, I just thought she knew how much they were worth. You know, I mean, she could have got $20 out of each one of them, you know, instead of $2, but, you know.
Or at least negotiated to 10.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, because you could buy a galvanized anchor, you know, and the ones we sold, you know, that she sold was galvanized because, I mean, you know, that's the only ones that's good. You pull a rebar anchor up out there at the jetties.
You throw it back.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to because the chain on it and everything is so rough that it'll cut you all up. You know, you have to be careful with that. And so I have.
But plus,
I have,
you get that rust all over your boat.
Yeah, I have drug it out to the channel. I've cut the rope off of them, but I've drug it out to the channel and dropped it there. You know, just take my anchor and flip it. Why? To get it away from where everybody. You know, you don't anchor in the channel,
right?
So get it away from where everybody anchors at.
You are such a good Samaritan.
Yeah. I did bring one back one time to throw away at the boat ramp. And, yeah, you're talking about barnacles and rust and every kind of little crab and tiny starfish, and everything lived on that anchor and in the inside of the chain and all that stuff. But anyway, I try to be a good steward.
No wonder you're the wizard of the waterway.
The steward of the waterway. Yeah, there you go.
Amazing. Just amazing.
Well, you know, and when you fish as much now, see, years ago, I mean, I was fishing 6 and 7 days a week. I was working because I had a goal. I wanted, by the time I got to around 65 years old, I wanted to make sure the house was paid for, had no car payments,
right?
You know, no mortgage, you know, just have my light bill, my taxes, you know, my property taxes, and car insurance. You can't get away from that.
No, debt is terrible. These people, my neighbor across the street, he's about 35.
Yeah.
He's got $30,000 in credit card debt.
Oh, yeah. See, yeah.
And he's making $700 a week.
But now, and then we had a lot in credit card debt, but because when my wife first got Lyme disease, or when we found out and she was diagnosed with Lyme disease, it was like 2.5 years after she got it. The insurance company wouldn't pay for another thing with her. Anything had to do with Lyme disease, because the CDC said Lyme disease is not in the state of Florida, which they're crazy. It's like they think we have a fence across the Georgia state line, you know. But so they wouldn't. The insurance company would not pay for anything. And then finally, they dropped her. And then until she got disabled, and then she was able to get Medicare through that. You know, of course, she's on Medicare now because she's over 65. But, yeah, so we were putting all the doctor appointments, all the medicine, all that stuff on credit card. And, so that was one of the things I had to, I wanted to work enough and, you know, just pay and get everything paid for, because, you know, you hear so much about people on, limited income, or what do you call it?
Sooner or later, everybody's on limited income.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I didn't want to be a statistic and eat, you know, dog food and stuff. So,
You know, with cream cheese, it's pretty good.
I bet it is. Yeah, so, you know, I figured that when I got bad enough, I'd be eating fish every day at least, or whatever, you know.
Right.
Even if I didn't have a boat, I'd go catch them off the shore or something, you know.
Well, I'm still paying $800 a pound, so.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty expensive when you take a boat out.
Yeah, no, think about it. Yeah. You buy a boat, it's $20,000, $50,000. You're just kidding yourself if you think you're getting fish and it's cheap.
Yeah, well, you take your truck. You got gas in your truck.
Yeah.
You get out there, you got gas in your boat.
Licensing, registration, insurance.
You got to get bait, or, you know. I mean, you can buy lures, but, you know, you're just certain fish you're not going to catch with lures. You know?
Right.
So, and you have to have your license, of course. That's a one-time thing. But, you know, and then you got to have the gas to get back to the dock.
Hopefully.
The gas to get back home in your truck.
Hopefully,
you know,
yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it doesn't cost like, you know, $3.59 a pound like it would in a fish market.
Yeah. Farmed in Vietnam. I got a lure I want to talk about, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be back after this.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. It's good to have a big gas tank. Of course, not nowadays, it may not be.
Well, I don't know. At least you can fill up before the price goes up another nickel.
Yeah.
Now, right now, I'm buying $10 of gas every day so I can put a sticker on a gas pump. But it's fun enough to be worth it.
Yeah, I like that. Biden pointing to it. I did that.
Yeah.
That's so funny. But so you got a story, you said?
No, I've been, you know, I watched some YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. I've been fishing by proxy, you know, during my boat, endless boat repair project.
Yeah.
And yesterday, this kid, he's in South Florida, is Justin Mendez, I guess it is. And he's pretty young. I'd say he's early 20s, like 21, 22. Mm-hmm. And he does a pretty good job. Of course, they're catching snook like it's nobody's business down there, and
yeah.
The water's clear enough. You can actually see the fish in his camera. He caught a red on one of the videos I watched yesterday, or black drum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there was two reds chasing it, and you could see them.
Oh well,
so it's much different. So neat. What you and I have to put up with, unless it's really cold and sometimes water gets clear. But
yeah.
Anyways, he tested a lure. He does some lure tests. There's a Savage Gear crab, and he was catching the heck out of black drum and redfish
on a lure. Black
on a
drum?
Lure. Hmm. Yeah.
What did it look like?
It looked like a tiny, big as your thumbnail,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little bigger than that. Beautiful blue crab.
Oh, okay. Blue crab, yeah.
And it's got a weight on it so that it's designed when it hits the bottom, the crab claws are up.
Huh.
And he was just smacking these fish.
Wow.
He caught a redfish.
So it's not a gulp bait?
No. Uh-uh. It's a Savage Gear crab. There's two in a pack. It's $10. So he was saying, you know, this thing, I hope I don't lose it.
Yeah, really. I know the gulp crabs, I've used those before.
Yeah.
I haven't really had very much luck with them.
Well, that's what I was thinking when he wanted to catch a sheephead, but he was fishing mangroves.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go to any docks or any structure, you know, deeper places.
Right, yeah.
So he didn't see any, didn't hook any, so we don't know. But the fact that the black drum were hitting on it, I've never caught a black drum on a lure.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah, and they were smacking this thing. So I think you should try it before I have to spend $10.
My problem is you only get two for $10, correct?
Yeah, you only get two. That's the twice as many as you need, Vic.
Well, but, you know.
Hold on, we got a secret message.
Oh, okay. So, that's the message? How did it come in?
It got slipped under the door.
Oh, really?
Very cryptic. It says, Dear Vic, why in goodness sakes would you have a ponytail? I don't know. If you're listening, I'm with you. That's crazy. And how do you get in the building?
Don't know that. That's crazy. You see? Okay. Yeah. Listener would like to know, how do you get the license, the card?
What?
For being over 65.
I must have read it wrong.
And yeah, you must have. And how to obtain, the card instead of the paper version. The paper version, I mean, it's always been so bad. Whenever we would have to buy, before I'd have to buy a fishing license, personal fishing license, and then I would have to get a charter license for four or less customers. And by the time you go to redo it, main thing is I knew to do it. I had it timed in the year to do it when my boat insurance come due. So that was in July. So I knew July or August I had to replace my license. And but you couldn't read it, on that paper. I mean, even if you fold it up and slide it in the little protective case, still couldn't read it. So anyway, when you go to a tax collector's office, you explain to them that you want the card, and if you're over 65, you just show them your driver's license. And a good note to it, too, when you show your driver's license, there's no charge for that, for your license for a hunting, freshwater, and saltwater license. But you do have to pay for the card, which I think is $5, something like that, $5 in tax.
Is it good for a year or is it good forever?
Mine's good until 2042.
That'll probably do for, my age.
Now, when you're 65, you don't really get one that expires, which, it's supposed to be when you turn 65, you're not going to get any younger, so it's supposed to be for now on. But it was kind of funny when I got mine because it says, it expires in, I think it was July or whatever, 2042. And I thought that was kind of funny. I hope it does last that, I hope I do have to renew it.
Watch what you wish for.
Yeah. So that'd be quite a while yet. Another 20 years would be good.
I don't know how, launching a boat's going to be when you're 90.
I don't either, but I'll probably be fishing if I'm 90.
Hopefully. Yeah, I took my grandpa fishing. He was in his 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in New Smyrna Beach. And I'm forever thankful because we got into a school of jacks. And I don't like catching jacks. I mean, once in a while I'll get one or two and smoke them because mm-hmm. they make a pretty good fish dip. But other than that, they just wreck stuff as far as I'm concerned. But, man, he didn't know any of that. And I, oddly enough, kept my mouth shut. And he was so happy. Fish after fish after fish. We're just trying to yank that rod out of his hand.
Yeah.
The guy's 85 years old and he is slaying them.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably the most fun he ever had fishing because you know how ferocious they are.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still thankful to this day.
I know it sounds weird, but I do like catching jacks.
Yeah.
If you get them around 8 to 10 pounds, that's good enough to really scream some drag.
Yep.
They'll chase a lure till they get it. I just think there's hardly anything that's more fun. I mean, ladyfish, of course, will chase one like that, too, but a lot of times they'll jump and, if you don't have a good leader on there, mm-hmm. you lose the lure, because the ladyfish will break that line. They've got, I don't know, I guess it's the rough gills or whatever, however they do it, but they'll break the line pretty quick, where the jacks usually don't. you know.
Well, the guy I took kayaking when we got stuck in the wind and were battling our till our arms fell off. Yeah. He caught a jack.
Hmm.
Big one. It's, I don't know, 10, 11 pounds probably.
Oh, yeah. See, that's, yeah.
And he was the biggest fish he ever caught. He was delighted.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want to catch him. If I can't eat it, I don't want to catch it. It's so weird.
Get your sandwich, huh?
Yeah, if I don't get a sandwich. Trying to get the price down to $700 a pound.
Well, whoever that listener is, just go to the tax collector's office. You won't be able to get it. Like, you know, these.
Wait
other,
a minute. What about Walmart? I usually get mine at Walmart.
That's what I'm saying. These other places, I don't think you can get the card.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that you can get the free fishing license. Mm. Like I said, this doesn't include any stamps like a tarpon stamp or a snook stamp. You still have to pay for those. But
how does the tarpon stamp work?
If you want to keep a tarpon and stuff it, you have to pay $50 for a tarpon stamp.
I've heard they're delicious.
Yeah, right. Like a ladyfish.
Yeah.
But yeah, you go to tax collector's office and, you know, have your ID. Be sure to do that, and just tell them whenever they're making it out. Sometimes, I mean, they ask me, you know, so I don't know if they ask everybody or whatever. But you know, just explain that you want the card, and I think it's the tax collector's office I went to. Printed the card up, you know, but I understand from a couple of people that they went to tax collector's office, like in the west side or south side, and what they would do is they got their license receipt showing that they got a free license, and then they got the card in the mail like a week later.
That'd be all right.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the card shows that you're allowed to hunt, fish, and kill with reckless abandon.
Yep.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doesn't tell me I can keep flounder though in the close season. That's the bad.
I think you can at night.
But yeah, this is. I've heard so many people have texted me and called me and talked to me over the last few days. You know, about this flounder close season and
they're slaying them.
You know, they're like, gosh, you know, we're starting to catch some pretty good size, and I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. It's the fall flounder run, you know. I mean, Chip Davis used to have his flounder tournament around the 20th, 21st, 22nd, you know, of October. And that would be, you know, when it started. Of course, now he's going to have it December 4th because he's got to wait till the close season starts. Having it before the close season in October doesn't really start good.
So
you don't get the real big ones in. But actually, having it later, like he's having it, mm-hmm. I expect there might be some double digits in his weigh in, which he's never had. I think he's had a 9.8 or something like that was the biggest he's had.
Mm. If you were going to go fishing for a flounder,
mm-hmm.
and you could pick any tide, any day, any time, but you can only pick one,
mm-hmm.
what would it be?
Last of the incoming tide and the first of the outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like the most for flounder. Well, believe it or not, anywhere from a foot, foot and a half, right on it to about 30 feet.
So you,
there's a place right out from.
Let me write this down.
Yeah. There's a place right out from the Sand Dollar.
Uh-huh.
And where it rolls down deeper.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, out away from the bank. You normally people would not think to flounder fish there. But there's a roll down right there where, you know, where I've got some, you know, 8 to 10 pound flounder.
Hmm. I have fished there,
mm-hmm.
but, fishing from the shallow side, you know, where they used to have the docks,
mm-hmm.
fishing out, bringing the bait back up over that hill.
And done
pretty good. And mangrove snappers right in front of the place and all those rocks.
Yeah.
Done pretty well there too.
And I'm talking about this area I was talking about. It's hard to do with some customers, you know, because of the way I like to ease back
mm-hmm.
the mullet or mud minnows. And, I like to use mullet in there, but, you know, easing them back like that, it's hard to get customers to do it. So I haven't been there in 15 years, I bet, fishing for flounder. I'm gonna have to get over there and do that again.
AM 600 and 101.1 FM, the conservative voice of Jacksonville, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The White House is clarifying President Biden's statement about U.S. policy regarding Taiwan. The president had stated that the U.S. would defend Taiwan in the event of a military attack by China. The White House backpedaling on those comments, with Press Secretary Jen Psaki clarifying that the president simply meant to state that the U.S. would not change its current policy toward Taiwan. Former U.S. Senator Jim Talent says China is seeking to achieve global domination, something he says would force the U.S. to abandon its allies and objectives in the entire Indo-Pacific region. He was interviewed this week by the Salem Radio Network. Northern California residents are cleaning up and preparing for a massive storm this weekend that could bring flash flooding to some of the vast areas scorched by wildfires. Residents had been relieved when the rain started falling this week for the first time since last spring. This is SRN News.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, president of Conservative Theological University, invites you to expand your biblical knowledge and earn your certified AA through PhD degree with CTU. If you're considering ministry or if you're already serving in ministry, you should consider completing your studies with CTU, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, in the Mandarin community. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview appointment today.
What if you had the opportunity to learn a trade for free? What if 9 weeks could change your life? Well, it can. American Electrical Academy is now accepting applications. Visit electricalacademy.org to learn more and apply today. A free 9-week training course in the electrical skill trade. You will get real life experience and hands-on training. Gain the confidence for success, and your resume will stand out to potential employers. No prior experience necessary. Apply to this 9-week course to change the course of your life. electricalacademy.org. That's electricalacademy.org.
Hi, this is Bob with the Pump Station Pros. Did a property near you experience regulatory scrutiny, large fines, and broken equipment? Call us. We're here to help. Our preventive maintenance program clearly outlines the problems that your pump station has. This enables you to better budget your expenses, not only for yourself, but for your client. With our experience, we'll clearly explain to you why you're spending the money that you're spending, and how it's going to benefit your pump station. We have trained and skilled people with a combined experience of over 200 years. We're the Pump Station Pros, 904-249-8080. We have the ability to diagnose and solve problems that can be costly. Serving Nassau, St. John's, Clay, and Duval County. Consolidated Utilities, 904-249-8080.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Sunny today with a high near 85. Tonight, mostly clear with temperatures dropping to around 62 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 84. And as for the rest of the work week, Monday through Friday, mostly sunny with temperatures ranging from the upper 70s to the lower 80s.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. And also got a text during the break, and it says, when I renewed my license on the FWC app, they ask you if you want the card or paper. So that's some good information there, too. So, you know, I don't remember where the tax collector, I'm pretty sure the tax collector's office asked me if I wanted the card, you know. But you do have to pay a little extra for the card. That's no biggie. I mean, you're getting a free license anyway. You know, so might as well, you know, take
well, that. Well, it's not free, Vic. Okay.
Take that into consideration. Why is that?
It's not because we're paying taxes to pay. Oh, you know.
Oh, we're going to pay taxes all the way up, you know.
Oh, it's only going to be, yeah. Let's not go there.
Yeah, and even, you know, even when you pay taxes on your house, you're going to, you know, the IRS is going to find out about it. You know, if they pass this bill, you know.
They're going to find out you live in a palace.
They're going to find out if you buy too many groceries in a month. They're going to find, you know.
Well, then they can step in and start worrying about junk food.
Can you imagine?
Large Coca-Colas.
If they start talking about the $600, you know, if you deposit $600 or you withdraw $600, the bank's got to
report it
to the IRS.
Yeah.
I mean, there's car payments that are over $600.
Oh.
So you're talking about reporting it every month for how many Americans? And I know the house payments are over $600 a month, so you're paying that, you know. So, I mean, it's just so ridiculous to me.
Well, it's just a way to get more voters in that particular persuasion.
And look at the banks. Can you imagine how much work that's going to be to try to, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I know everything's automated nowadays. You know, I'm not living in the past. I realize that. But still, that's a lot more work for the technology people or whatever at the bank. You know, I don't know how they're going to work that.
Well, they're going to charge us.
Huh?
They're going to charge us.
Yeah, probably will.
I mean, just remember, everybody used to have free checking accounts.
Yeah.
And now you got to jump through hoops, maintain a balance,
yeah,
and various other items to...
Right.
Not pay for your checking account.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be commonplace.
Yep.
So when you're talking about these founders, we were talking on the break,
uh-huh,
and I'm trying to extract secret information from Vic, who's like a clam. Talking about fishing on a bank in 30 feet of water and dropping the bait straight down with an egg sinker, picking it up, letting the tide move it, and put it right down, mm-hmm, instead of the classical cast out and ease it your way, you know, move a little bit and let it sit.
So you just told my secret over there.
Yeah.
But no, it's not a secret. I've told, you know, a lot of people how to do that. When you're in that deep water like that and you're in more current than you normally would be, like if you're fishing around the docks and stuff, everybody fishes around the docks, mm-hmm, at Mayport, stuff like that. You know, generally you're doing it either with a fish finder rig with a short leader, or you're doing it with a jig head. You know, you're up in shallower water, but if you're out there, like I'm talking about in the deeper water, you drop that thing down, you know, with about an 8 or 9 inch or, you know, leader. I like the 2-aught Kale hooks. To me, that's a perfect size.
Right.
And, you know, you have your egg sinker, your swivel, and then your 8 to 9 inch leader and the 2-aught Kale hook. So use that egg sinker, and it depends on whether you've got a full moon and a lot of tide, a lot of current, or whether you've got a normal, you know, like between the moon phases and you've got regular current, you know, you can use a lighter weight. But you drop it down, and, you know, people who fish in the river, bottom fish in the river, will know sometimes you can drop down a 6-ounce weight and, you know, just a minute or 30 seconds later, the current's picked it up off the bottom. You got to let some more line out, and it picks it up off the bottom. You know, you got to let it out far enough until you get that slope on the line.
Right.
And to where it will hold bottom. Now, normally what I'll do, you know, is if I'm bottom fishing and that kind of stuff, I won't do that because sometimes you can get hung up depending if you're drum fishing, you know, on a rocky bank or something like that, and you keep moving it back, you can get hung up real easy. So what I generally do in situations like that, I'll just toss it out and go ahead and get that slope on the line, get it on the bottom. But when I'm flounder fishing in that deeper water, I'll drop it down like that because usually it's not real rocks where I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten hung up there a few times. So there is something.
The nature of bottom fishing.
Yeah. But most of the time you can fish it pretty good. You drop it down there, it hits the bottom. You know, immediately the current picks it up immediately, and you let it slide back a little by letting out a little bit of line. And then when it picks up next time, it's going to be a little bit longer because you got more of a slope on your line.
Mm-hmm.
Then you kind of let out some more line, hits the bottom again when the current picks it up. And I don't mean wait till the current picks it way up, 2 feet off, 3 feet off the right. bottom. I'm talking about as soon as it lets go of the bottom, kind of let the line out and ease it back some more. That way you're staying close to the bottom.
Well, and you're covering and just, it not better.
Right. And you just keep easing it back, and, you know, as far as you want to do it. I generally ease it back until it maintains. When you go to pick up your line and you set it back down, and it stays in that same spot, and if you pick it up again and set it back down, you don't have to let out any line.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I reel it in, start it over again.
Hmm.
Now, with the GPS trolling motors like we have, it's a whole lot better than, you know, I used to do this with the anchor, and we'd sit there and try to do that. Now, what I would do with my Carolina skiff is I had the side cleats in the front, but on the sides, and I would tie the anchor rope to one side of the boat and turn your motor like a rudder, and you fish that area, you know, that part of the slope. Then you straighten your motor. That moves the boat over five right. or 6 feet, and you work that part of the slope. Then you take your anchor rope and put it on the middle cleat in front of the boat like your normal
do it again.
Anchor rope. That'll move you over 4 or 5 feet. Do it again. Take your anchor rope, put it on the other side of the boat, turn, you know, fish that area, and then you could turn your motor and it'll move it over a little bit, and then you can fish that area. Now, that's what I used to have to do before we got this GPS trolling motor. Now, it's so much easier that you can just take and you hit the, like, say, if you're sitting there and you're in 30 foot of water, and you fish that a few minutes, you know, drop it back several times. You want to move over 5 feet, just hit the button on your trolling motor and it moves you over 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, so nowadays it's a whole lot easier to just take that trolling motor and move over, you know, 5 feet at a time, fish that area.
So you're using your depth finder to get on depth and then you turn it off, right? Because I know you don't leave yours on.
Well, only in the shallows.
Okay.
When I'm in, now if I'm in shallow water in the, you know.
Creek.
In the creeks, it's definitely off. But I'll turn it on sometimes just to see what water temperature is.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually after I get through fishing somewhere, I'll turn it on because I'm fixing to leave anyway and see what the water temperature is. If I'm out in the river and I'm in shallow water, like 8 to 10 feet, and I'm either fishing for trout or whatever in that shallower water, I'll leave it off. I'll find out where I'm at. I'll have the depth finder turned on, find out what depth I'm at, and then turn it off. I don't know if you've ever been underwater under a boat and hear it go tick, 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 tick. That's what it does. It's how
do that again.
Does it real fast. But if I'm in 20 to 50 feet of water, I don't turn it off.
Okay.
I leave it on. You know, because the fish out there, when you're bottom fishing like that, they have had so many boats with depth finders on. They're just, it doesn't spook them.
Pretty much has to be constant, I would think.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just don't think that type of situation spooks them at all. You know,
I read somewhere, and I don't know, some of these people are such noodle heads, you can't believe them, but they've theorized that in the beginning, you know, whenever we were all paddling around on logs,
yeah,
that whales sounds would travel across the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So the whales in England could talk to the whales in Bogota.
Mm-hmm.
Because there wasn't that electronic interference in the water. And I know that when we were mad at the Russians at one time, they have buoys out there that they can turn on the ping or not.
Yeah.
So they turned them on to ping to aggravate the people, the Russian submariners, because they're in the submarine, they can hear it.
Yeah.
So it's ping, 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 drives them crazy. You know, it's just a way of saying, you know, take that, you dirty Russians. That's pretty funny. But, yeah, I imagine the fish got to get used to it.
Yeah. Well, and like you say with that, you know, as many boats as there are in that river, mm-hmm. I mean, there's got to be all kind of noises through there, you know. So.
Well, I know you and I can hear a boat from quite a distance with our head under the water.
Yeah.
You can hear that prop. And mm-hmm. motor, so fish must be able to hear it forever.
A depth finder seems quiet to everybody when you're up in the boat. But actually, when you're under, if you go to a Port George Inlet, you can get out at the sandbar, stick your head down, and get 50 feet from the boat. You still hear it.
Oh, for sure.
We'll be back.
Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
But you're talking about the crab lure that the guy was catching black drum and reds on and all that.
Yeah,
but
I guess Savage no, Gear.
Savage Gear, yeah, that was it. There's no scent to it or nothing. It's a hard lure with maybe soft.
No, it's
just a weighted lure.
The crab is rubber,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, plastic.
Yeah.
And then it's got a specialized sinker, so when the crab hits the bottom, he's claws up, like defending himself.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Well, he was fishing mangroves, and he cast and got hung up in the branches,
mm-hmm.
and the crab was kind of hitting the water a little bit, and he's trying to get his line off the branch, and a redfish took it.
Yeah.
So now he's got a redfish on. He stuck through the mangroves and lost the fish, but he did. He was catching black drum with it. So I was wondering if anybody that listens has used those Savage Gear. They're baby blue crabs, $5 a piece. Here and had any luck because he's catching
To buy him in a package of two.
Yeah. But he wasn't in a place where there was sheephead. I've never caught a sheephead on.
So how big do you think it is? An inch and a half across, or
about as big as the end of your thumb?
Oh, okay.
Little.
So it's little.
It's you know.
Yeah, that's good for a sheephead then.
It's almost fiddler crab size.
I was thinking if it was like the gulp crabs. Those are a little big sometimes for sheephead, depending on the sheephead. But most of the time, the way sheephead eats, you know, it's kind of big for the sheephead.
Yeah, no, these things are little. I'd be curious to see if they work on sheephead because that'd be great.
And you're talking about the redfish come up. I was in Little Clapboard. I don't know if you know where that's at. Mm-hmm. It's Clapboard Creek that runs between Clapboard Creek and Browns Creek. You can go all the way through there. And you can't do it at low tide, of course, but you can do it, you know, like almost high tide and during high tide, the first outgoing. But anyway, I was in there one day, and I was, you know, I had one customer and myself, and we were throwing topwaters, and it was high tide. And we were throwing that lure, and I happened to throw mine just into the grass. And a lot of times I like to throw, if you've got sparse grass,
right?
I like to throw it in the grass. And generally, if you just don't pull it out, but you kind of work it, you know, walking the dog out of the grass, usually it'll just come out of that grass pretty easy,
mm-hmm.
you know, without getting hung up. This time it got hung up, and it was a topwater, so it was at the top of the water. So I flipped it a little bit, you know, wasn't trying to do it hard because I didn't want the hook to go into the grass that far. And I flipped it and flipped it and flipped it, and a redfish come up and nailed it.
No kidding.
And whenever he did, he pulled it right off the grass.
Nice of
him. Yeah, it was like a 24-inch red, and so I got him. You know, got him to the boat. But that was pretty neat to get hung up like that and have a fish come up and take it off there for you.
Help you out.
Yeah. I thought I was going to have to take the boat and go, because I didn't want to break the line.
Sure.
So
I'm with you.
You know, I thought I was going to have to take the trolling motor and ease over there and pull it out by hand. But yeah, he jumped on that thing. And I, because it was just splashing, you know, when I was.
Right. You're making a commotion.
Flipping it. Yeah. That was pretty neat.
That is neat. I, speaking of line, I just had my, I had Shimano 250s. I got a couple of them. I had one re-spooled. The thing doesn't hold much line. You know, it's a little reel. It was $18.
What kind of, what's the name brand line?
Don't know. Went to the nameless tackle shop that we talk about. And it seems to me last time I had it done, it was like $10 or $12. So I was pretty surprised by that.
That's when Trump was in office.
True. It was, literally. That's the fact.
That's when you had more people working and... you know, it's kind of disheartening when you go into a place like Publix and you see a bunch of shelves completely empty.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Yeah,
it's kind of disheartening. I mean, if we have the truckers in this country ever go on strike or whatever, I mean, we're going to be in really bad shape. Because they're the ones that keep this nation moving.
Well, Sam's Club has now put a limit on, the like I bought paper towels the other day. You're only allowed to buy one case.
Yeah. Let's get Wayne on. Morning, Wayne.
How you doing, Dick?
All right, sir.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, how you been?
Good.
Yeah, I just want to let you know I have tried one of those little Savage Gear blue crab things.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I was fishing with Vic that day, and I got a good bite on a red. And it flattened the hook on it.
Oh, that's not good, is it?
the hook isn't all that strong on there. It is when I pulled it back up, the hook was flat.
Wow!
And wow!
It flat right into the rubber.
Doesn't sound good for sheephead fishing, does it?
No, it didn't. So I didn't buy any more after that. Now I did. I have to admit. Up underneath it, where the lead part of the little lure, I put a little bit of blue crab scent underneath there to help it a little bit. But whenever I got that bite, I didn't get the hook set, so I reeled it on in, and that thing was smashed flatter than a flitter.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know.
Yep.
I think the sheep's head is probably the only fish that's strong enough to do that with their mouth. I don't know. I know reds.
Sheephead. I never did get, you know, the hook set. So, you know, I got a little bit of a pull from it, and that was all I got.
I know that, you know, when I grab a red and I pull his bottom lip down with my thumb and try to get the hook out with my other hand, you know, a lot of times they'll clamp down, and I got my left thumb. My left thumb is scarred all up, and you can see a couple of them pretty deep.
From sheephead or reds?
From reds. I don't put sheephead in. I don't put my hand in sheephead, but from the reds. But yeah, they're so strong. We, you know, in the fall when we're fishing for the bull reds around the Dean's Point Bridge, I usually use either a 4 or 5-aught hook. I actually had twice in 3 days. A fish that you'd see that, you know, the end of the rod bumping, and he wouldn't take it, and he wouldn't take it, and he wouldn't take it, and then all of a sudden, and we have a whole crab down there, and he wouldn't take it, and finally, you know, the bumping stopped, and I'd be like, well, maybe he had the bait off, so we reel it up, and that 4-aught Kale hook was mashed, the point was mashed all the way flat to the shank of the hook.
Yeah.
That had to be probably 10, 12 pounds sheephead to do that down there. And so I went down there the next day. I was telling the guys, and I think they looked at me like, you know, they didn't believe me. And you know, a lot of times when the bull reds are in, we're doing that almost daily. But the third day I was talking about, I was explaining that to the guys, and then one starts bumping on the rod again. And I said, he bit just like that. And then it stopped, and we pulled it up, and that hook was mashed flat too.
Dang.
So they sit there and eat that whole crab. you know, eating that whole crab and still, I mean, because you had to. I mean, the hook was in the crab, so you'd have, you know, you'd have to get to the crab. But that was amazing that they would mash that four-aught kale hook. You know, a two-aught kale hook's a lot thinner gauge, but a four-aught kale, that's some thick wire. I mean, you know, and, you know, and they, and it was a bronze hook, of course. That's all I use is bronze one, so they'll rust out if you lose them. But for it to mash that hook flat like that was amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah. I've been up in the creeks before and have them mash a jig with a three-aught hook on it, you know, quarter-inch jig. I've had them mash them flat, but then, of course, you got that's a little thinner gauge wire, too.
The sheep had the size of a garbage can lid.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it must. I bet you it was probably 10 or 12 pounds sheephead. You know?
I bought them Savage Gear shrimp with that when I bought those two little blue crab. And, that, you know, they look so real.
Yeah, I've used them.
And I never caught nothing out off of that thing. I just threw them things away.
Yeah, I did. I threw my gulp crabs away, too, because... I mean, I'd use them here and there, you know, and then try it again here and there. And try. You know, a lot of times if you use a lure, that's what I tell people about, you know, I love bombers and I love, you know, the skitter walks and I love the X-Raps, you know. I mean,
yeah.
those lures, you know, they'll work, but they'll only work if there's a fish around.
That's a fact. That's how I like know, DOAs.
So when people go out and use that lure and they don't catch anything, then they go somewhere else or whatever and use a different lure and catch a fish, then they think, well, the bomber didn't work. But it could be, you know, it could be that that's just there wasn't a fish there. I mean, the fish has got to be there for you to get a bite to start with. So,
and he's got to be hungry.
Well, you know something?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Vic, it's about confidence, you know. The bait you feel confident with. And some people can put on a Savage and tear up the trout with it, and I guess somebody else may not do anything with it. I had a friend of mine that just, his was DOA shrimp. That
me too.
That's what Bill likes.
And that's all he used, and he hammered the fish with that thing. So, you know, it's just what you feel comfortable you getting used to using, I think is a big part of it. That's my thoughts on it.
That, and you get, you also get, you know, if you use a lure, the more you use it, the more fish you'll catch on it. And the more fish you catch on it, the more confidence you have in it.
That's right.
So that's right. The whole thing. Appreciate your call, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne.
All right, Darryl, we'll talk to you later.
Okay. All right. So, you know, that's pretty good. I've explained that to people about the different lures and stuff, and they're like, well, you have confidence in it. Well, that's because it works.
We also learn how it works.
More, yeah, if you use it more, you'll get more confidence in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, always try that. But
because there's subtle differences in all these lures. You gotta learn what they are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's, you could take two people, put them on the front of the boat, throwing the same lure, same color, and the two people are working it different.
You know, well, so, and I'd rather be lucky than good.
There you go. Tune us in next week. We'll be back then. Thank you.